the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to a new edition of Vatican Insider. This week in the interview segment, I feature part two of my conversation with celebrated Chicago sculptor Lou Sella, who tells the story of the statue he sculpted of Mother Cabrini, that is, St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, patron saint of migrants, that is now welcoming pilgrims at St. Paul's Basilica in Rome. On November 13th, Cabrini's feast day, the statue is placed in a garden area adjacent to the basilica, and an American saint is back in her native Italy forever. You will learn how Pope Francis received a miniature of Mother Cabrini, how the idea was born to have a statue here for the Holy Year and beyond, and what goes into shipping a 700-plus-pound statue from Chicago to Rome. And now the news highlights of the week. Sunday, November 17th. It was a beautiful day at the Vatican when Pope Francis presided at Mass for the 8th World Day of the Poor, prayed the Angelus, and then broke bread with 1,300 poor in the Paul VI Hall, the 8th time he has done so. In a festive setting, the Pope's guests were treated to an appetizing meal sponsored by the Italian Red Cross, whose marching band provided entertainment. The Vincentian Fathers provided each guest with a backpack containing food and hygiene items to be taken home. In addition, in preparation for the World Day of the Poor, the healthcare facility linked to the Dicastery for Charity offered free consultations, medication, and assistance to those in need. In his homily at Mass, Pope Francis reflected on the pains of today's world: famine, war, inequality, indifference. In a world where social media amplifies fears and insecurities, it's so easy to succumb to despair and to see darkness, but, said the Pope, just when everything seems to collapse, God comes. God gathers us together to save us, to give us hope. The job of Christ's disciples is to make this hope visible through acts of charity, solidarity, and justice. At the Angelus Sunday, Pope Francis called for peace in conflict zones, solidarity with the marginalized, and prayerful action against injustice and abuse. As wars across the globe persist, the Pope prayed for Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Lebanon, and Myanmar, reminding the faithful gathered that war dehumanizes and leads to the tolerance of unacceptable crimes. Monday, November 18th. In a message addressed to President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva of Brazil, host of the two-day G20 Summit for International Economic Cooperation, Pope Francis called for immediate and united efforts to eradicate world hunger and poverty. He said the scandal of world hunger was worsened by the armed conflicts in our world today, and the huge amounts of money spent on weapons and armaments, rather than helping to feed 3 billion people in our world who do not have access to food or adequate nutrition. Tuesday, November 19th, marked 1,000 days since Russia launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine on February 24th, 2022, and Pope Francis once again expressed his solidarity with the suffering Ukrainian people. In a letter to the Apostolic Nuncio to Ukraine, he acknowledged the extent of the suffering Ukrainians are enduring. I am well aware that no human words can protect their lives from daily bombings, console those mourning their dead, heal the wounded, bring children back home, free prisoners, or restore justice and peace. Francis also recalled the daily national minute of silence observed by Ukrainians each morning at 9 a.m., to honor all the victims of war, children and adults, civilians and soldiers, as well as prisoners being held in terrible conditions. Wednesday, November 20th. At the general audience in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis delighted the pilgrims present by announcing that in the 2025 Jubilee year, Blessed Carlo Acutis will be canonized during the April 25th to 27th Jubilee of Teenagers, becoming the first millennial saint. Francis also announced the canonization of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati during the Jubilee of Youth, July 28th to August 3rd, 100 years after his death on July 4, 1925. Also at the audience, Pope Francis read aloud a letter sent to him by a Ukrainian student to mark the 1,000th day of war in the country. Quote, "When on Wednesday you remember my country and are able to speak to the whole world on the 1,000th day of this terrible war, I ask you not to speak only of our suffering, but also of our faith. Although it is imperfect, that does not diminish its value, because it paints with painful strokes a portrait of the resurrected Christ." Toward the end of the audience, at which Ukrainian First Lady Olena, the wife of President Volodymyr Zelensky, was in attendance, Francis took a moment to reflect on the tragic milestone, which he called a shameful disaster for all of humanity. The general audience this week fell on the International Day for the Rights of Children and Adolescents, dedicated to improving children's welfare worldwide. During the audience, in fact, Francis announced a summit, the World Meeting on Children's Rights, to be held at the Vatican February 3, 2025. The Pope that day also issued a chirograph establishing the Pontifical Committee for the World Day of Children, entrusting to it the mission of, quote, "promoting, organizing, and animating the World Day for Children." Also November 20th, new rites for the death and funeral of a pope were published by the Office for the Liturgical Celebrations of the Supreme Pontiff. Approved by Pope Francis in April, a number of new elements have been introduced. The ascertainment of death will no longer take place in the room of the deceased, but in the chapel, and his mortal remains will be placed immediately inside a coffin. The faithful will be able to venerate the Pope's body inside the open coffin, and the tradition of having three coffins of cypress, lead, and oak has been eliminated. Thursday, November 21st. Meeting for their first plenary assembly, Pope Francis told members of the Dicastery for Culture and Education that they are morally obliged to help the 250 million children who do not attend school. Today, he said, the world has the highest number of students in history. Even so, about 250 million children and teens are not able to attend school. This is cultural genocide when we rob children of their future by our failure to provide the conditions necessary for them to become all that they can be. Also Thursday, Pope Francis called for a renewed study of church history, emphasizing collective memory, reconciliation, and a deeper engagement with primary sources to navigate the present with wisdom and faith. He urged seminarians, clergy, and the faithful to embrace history, which continues to play a role in their daily lives, but the Pope also cautioned against the so-called cancel culture and partisan historical narratives that distort the past to justify present ideologies. Also Thursday, addressing Italy's leading Catholic publishing group in the education sector, La Scuola, Pope Francis reiterated the need for an educational pact capable of uniting families, schools, and society to address the new challenges of our time. Again Thursday, in a message to the 1,300 participants in the 6th American Missionary Congress taking place in Ponce, Puerto Rico, November 19th to the 24th, Pope Francis invited the missionaries to speak to people in the language of love, which all of humanity can understand. The conference theme is Evangelizers in the Spirit to the Ends of the Earth. Also Thursday, in a letter addressed to the College of Cardinals and the heads of Roman Curia offices and those linked to the Holy See, Francis announced the appointment of American Cardinal Kevin Farrell as the sole administrator of the Vatican Pension Fund, and he described the decision as an essential step in addressing the challenges that our pension system will face in the future. Francis said the data that now emerges, following the latest in-depth analyses carried out by independent experts, indicate a severe prospective imbalance in the fund, the size of which tends to grow over time in the absence of interventions. Friday, November 22nd, the Holy Father held a series of private audiences. Well, those are the week's news highlights, but stay here for the Q&A, and then my talk with Lou Sella, about the statue he sculpted of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini that is now in Rome's St. Paul's Basilica. Welcome to the Q&A, which today is about the Feast of Christ the King. I've been asked by many, how long has this been in the church? Well, now I'll tell you. The solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, commonly referred to as the Feast of Christ the King, is a relatively recent addition to the Western liturgical calendar, having been instituted in 1925 by Pope Pius XI for the Roman Rite of the Catholic Church. Pius did so as an antidote to secularism, a way of life that leaves God out of man's thinking and living and organizes his life as if God did not exist. The feast is intended to proclaim in a striking and effective manner Christ's royalty over individuals, families, society, governments, and nations. Pius XI's encyclical, Quas Primus, was promulgated December 11, 1925. In his 1969 Motu Proprio Mysteri Paschalis, Pope Paul VI moved the feast to the final Sunday of the liturgical year, before the commencement of a new liturgical year on the first Sunday of Advent. He assigned it to the highest rank of solemnity, thus liturgical vestments for the day are either white or gold, in keeping with other joyous feasts honoring Christ. The earliest date on which it can occur is November 20th, and the latest is November 26th.
Hi, this is Mike Aquilina with a few words about St. Monica. Her son Augustine is one of the most influential thinkers in human history. Monica was uneducated, yet Augustine called himself her disciple. She taught him good sense, and she prayed him back to the faith after 17 years away.
Pope Francis tells us, becoming a priest or a man or woman religious is not primarily our own decision. Rather, it's the response to a call of love. Do you feel as if God may be calling you to religious life? If so, contact a religious order faithful to the magisterium or your diocesan vocation. For information on the priesthood or religious life, visit ewtn.com/religious-life today.
There's all kinds of prayers. There's all kinds of ways of praying. There's all kind of methods of praying. There's a Salesian method, and Francis de Sales and Ignatius of Loyola. There's Franciscan methods and Dominican methods, and you name it, we got it. But sometimes we depend on a method too much. St. Teresa said that prayer was conversation with God. Do you have a hard time conversing with people? No, I don't have a hard time. Well, that's how it is with God.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome to part two of my conversation with celebrated Chicago sculptor Lou Sella and the story he tells of the statue he sculpted of the world's beloved Mother Cabrini, St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, a statue now in Rome at the Basilica of St. Paul. An American saint is back in her native Italy forever. You will learn how Pope Francis received a miniature of Mother Cabrini, how the idea was born to have a statue here for the Holy Year and beyond, and what goes into shipping a 700-plus-pound statue from Chicago to Rome. Tell us the story about the miniature you created the last time you were in Rome and that you were able to give to Pope Francis.
This was, again, the Carol Christensen's tenacity. I just keep using that word. When we did the full figure, when Jess and I worked on that, there were two other side projects. There was a bas-relief of Mother that was hung in the interior of the cathedral with a relic mounted to it, and which was also donated by Carol. And I was given the task of sculpting a miniature of the main figure. It's only about 8 inches tall. And there was a couple of them made. My wife and I have one in our home, and they and the cathedral wanted to give one of these to Carol as a thank you for everything she did to make this project happen, both spiritually and financially. It was even before Carol knew she was being given one. She knew that one was being made. she started talking about this, we should give one of these to Pope Francis here in Rome.
Why should we stop at Holy Name Cathedral?
Right.
Let's go all the way to Rome.
Well, and I said, well, we can certainly make them, Carol, and if you could get it, or the Cardinal could get it in the hands of the Pope, that'd be wonderful. I never dreamt that I would be traveling with Carol and a pilgrimage to Rome to do that very thing. And that was a few months later, so it was in October of 22 was when the big one was unveiled, and yeah, Jess and I both thought that our work at that point was complete, but then this came up with the small one to present to Pope Francis, and we all traveled here and over at
the Paul VI Hall.
Yeah, Paul VI Hall, thank you. We went there, and it was a little crazy. It didn't go exactly as we had planned, but...
Well, it was like during a Wednesday general audience,
exactly.
I think, yeah.
Exactly. He came by the little railing there, and Carol and I both had our hands. It was kind of a heavy thing, and Carol was holding two sides of it, and I told her, I said, okay, I'll be holding it by the body, so if it's too heavy for you, you can let go. It won't hit the floor. She said, okay. And the Pope approached... And she explained, this was Mother Cabrini, this is a gift to you from Chicago. And I said to him, I said, it's from Cardinal Supich. And he said, ah, Cabrini, Cabrini. And he raised his hands up in the air and he put his hands in. So at one point, Carol's hands and my hands in the Pope's were all touching and holding on.
That's a great picture.
To the,
I remember that moment. But you know, now... How did this moment develop? You and I are in Rome. The statue has been planted. It's going to be dedicated next week. But how did the Rome idea happen in all of this?
The group that was here for the presentation of the miniature, we were all staying at a local hotel here, and we were basking in the triumph of it in the evening afterwards, and having a glass of wine, and somebody there said, it may have been Father Ramil, had said, I believe there should be a duplicate of the full-size figure here in Rome. And Carol jumped on it that second. She said, I've been thinking the same thing. One of those should be, we should do that here too. And they didn't understand the logistics of recreating one, but we did. And we planned for that possibility. We didn't think Rome. We thought maybe somewhere else in the United States or Illinois. So we had, our molds were made to be reusable. And it was with the blessing of Holy Name Cathedral in Chicago. And I'm sitting there listening to them discuss this. And I thought to myself, oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. If you can do it, I'd love to be a part of it. And I thought, are they aiming high.
Well, I can remember being part of the discussion.
That's right.
At one point, and even emailing back and forth, probably more with Father Romeo and Carol, about locations. Where could it be in Rome? And we've got the upcoming Holy Year. We want to bring this beautiful saint back to her native country forever. And, of course, that is now happening. But how can it become part of the Holy Year? Where could it be? And there was just... The Vatican was the first place you'd think of somewhere inside. If it was inside Vatican City, tourists really wouldn't be able to see it too much. So where could it be, on or near a bridge or someplace? And actually, it ended up, of course, as we mentioned at the very start of this conversation, it ended up at the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls. And we look at St. Paul, and there's a quote that you were telling me about today that Mother Cabrini made hers, and his quote is, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So where did he go all over the world? He walked, he took ships, speaking of ships and water, and thousands and thousands of miles, being the man who was going to bring you the gospel. So, but he himself was a pilgrim. He himself was a migrant as he went into different countries. So we just reverse that. And we have a woman who feels that she gets, Mother Cabrini, the one who gives her strength, allows her to go on, just as St. Paul did. So the fact that this ends up, this statue, in the basilica, not in the basilica, in the grounds of the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls is wonderful. And Lou, what I love is that it, as you come out of the Vatican, out of the basilica, you're on a long walkway, and then you're the residence of the Cardinal Archpriest, Cardinal James Harvey, originally of Milwaukee. That is on your left, and that's where the statue is. And it's wonderful because you're going to stop. Here's this outreached hand. And as I said earlier, I wish this was a television instead of a video. We could show the beautiful pictures you took of the placing of the statue and what it's going to mean to pilgrims, because the plaque that will be there is both in English and Italian, of course. That's going to be just a gathering, another gathering point, I feel, like you said it is at the Basilica in Chicago. Your emotions right now, you were there yesterday, gorgeous weather, thank the Lord, for the placement of the statue, and that's no easy task. Oh, shipping it had to be.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, you're looking at mammoth weight, by the way.
Yeah.
The base for the statue itself, 700 and some pounds. So, but the shipping of the container, it looks like, well, those things you see on TV, the small homes, you know, the tiny home.
Well, it wasn't quite that bad.
No.
But actually, this was one of the nice balancing acts that we did in it while the sculpture was made in the United States. The granite pedestal that it sits on was made here in Italy, in Pietrasanta. So what happened was the sculpture got shipped to St. Paul's directly, was rested on Vatican soil for a little bit, and then was taken to Pietrasanta, where they fit it to the granite. So we hired them.
But anybody who's ever paid overweight for luggage, you can't even, your mind can't fathom a 700 and some pound statue, and the, you know, the box it's in, and the plaques and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it had to be costly, but it all worked out time-wise. But here we are. It just awaits our presence. And there's going to be a good group from Chicago. A pilgrimage has been organized. You have friends and relatives coming, obviously, family members. Mm-hmm. And I will be there. And it's going to be a big day for Italy, a big day for any pilgrim who reads, if they didn't know about Mother Cabrini. I think I was 10 when I learned about her. She was part of...
That's about how old I was, too. Yeah.
She was part of catechism.
Yeah.
I mean, not catechism, but learning about the church and American saints and everything like that. So she's been a part of my life for so long. And, you know, I was reviewing... I went on the Internet to see if I could, you know, had to clarify a couple things on her life. I've read the most fascinating thing. Mother Cabrini is informally recognized... as an, oh, she's the intercessor patron saint of migrants, okay,
yes,
of immigrants. Cabrini is also informally recognized as an effective intercessor for finding a parking space. As one priest explained, she lived in New York City. She understands traffic. I just thought that was kind of a funny aside.
I didn't know she drove.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we think of schools and orphanages and the religious order she founded, I never thought of a parking space, you know.
No, that one didn't occur to me, but I guess I'll remember that. And Carol Christensen, she has talked about how Mother has guided this. I keep saying, you know, Carol Christensen, she keeps saying Mother has brought this. Mother has guided us through this.
You know, our time is running out, so just, Lou, a few thoughts on what this journey has meant to you from... learning about a statue that would come to Rome. It is now in Rome. It's in place. And in a few days, we'll be there watching it being blessed and dedicated.
Well, Jessica and I have talked about this and how when we were first tasked with this and told we were going to do this back in 2017, while it was certainly a significant project, now we are reaching out to pilgrims all over the world who are going to come to Rome. And we'll see it. And I don't know, it certainly has not sunk in yet. When I saw that crate with that sculpture resting in there at St. Paul's the other day, that I started to tear up a little.
Oh, of course.
It suddenly dawned on me. And Cardinal Harvey, as it was being placed and we were all very happy with how it looked. And he said, how did he word it? He said, you got to use it. Can you feel like crying? And I said, yes, Your Eminence, I do. He said you've all done a great deal of work.
But he's extraordinarily appreciative of and really likes it.
It isn't just him. I was hearing that from all of the people working there. They were going out of their way to tell me that they were, he said, we are very, very happy in what English they could communicate with me, because I'm not good with Italian, unfortunately. But it was very genuine. It was very sincere. And in an area that is so filled with sculpture, I'm extremely flattered to now be a part of it.
I mean, from pre-Renaissance to Renaissance to 2024, I mean, the history of sculpture is something so, so amazing. So we are at the end of our time, and I should have said, repeated Lou's name earlier, Lou Sella, a renowned sculptor. You've just heard the story, his life and the birth of a statue. So, and by the way, Lou, I did mean, both of us should have mentioned this a few minutes earlier. You've heard Jessica's name as the co-sculptor, if you will, on the Mother Cabrini statue, and she is not sitting with us in my office recording this because she actually just arrived Rome, and I'm with Lou at the only time he had in these days. I just urge everyone, when you're in Rome, we'll be posting pictures and so forth in coming days, but when you're in Rome and you go to St. Paul's Basilica, as you walk outside and you walk past the Cardinal's residence, you're going to see Mother Cabrini, because she's going to beckon to you. Make her a part of your life, as I said, this native saint who's come back to her country forever. So thank you, Lou, so much for your time and for your love of the church, your love of Mother Cabrini, and how you express that in the statue. So heartfelt thanks.
Yeah. You are very welcome.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.